South Africa's been rocked by news of mass retrenchments this week, with Telkom being the latest company to announce job cuts after Massmart said it's planning on shutting down 34 stores as Sibanye-Stillwater concludes its restructuring process as well. Joining me on the line now with his perspective on the current state of the labour market is labour consultant Tony Healy. Tony, thanks so much for joining us on the line this evening. So news of mass retrenchments hitting South Africa pretty hard this week, in part as a result of a weak economy, but also as companies need to adapt to the times with 4IR taking hold. And in some instances, these companies not adapting fast enough, and at the pace that's needed. Right at the top, what's your reading of the situation and the extent to which we're seeing job losses at this stage?
Well, Alicia, I think we're already seeing the beginning of a pattern that's likely to continue for at least this year and maybe beyond. You know, as we've had a number of years of low growth, we've had increased digitization, and those two factors conspire to giving us the current scenario whereby we have ongoing job losses and no job creation.
Absolutely. I mean, in Massmart's case, the group recently said it conducted a store optimization project that highlighted a number of underperforming stores in its portfolio. And yes, we attribute part of that to a weak consumer right now that's tightened his or her purse strings, especially in the consumer-facing market, though. I've got to ask, Tony, do you see companies doing enough in terms of training and skills development? Because, like it or not, you know, a lot of these retailers are suffering on account of something as simple as bad service, inefficiency, and customers then taking their very tight purse strings somewhere else.
Well, that's right. And I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's not so much that there are jobs deteriorating, it's just that they're growing in other areas where we don't have the skills to fill those vacancies. So the kinds of jobs that are going to be required in the sort of four and a half and fifth industrial revolution are quite different to the skills required presently, but we're not upskilling enough applicants to fill the kinds of positions that are being created. So they're being made redundant and retrenched in the current, if you like, traditional positions as we know them, and that they haven't been upskilled to fill the newly created positions in the kind of digitized environment.
What responsibility should companies be assuming in this context?
Well, I think you know, employers should be more forward-thinking when it comes to their skills planning and their skills training and their investment in training. We've known for some time that digitization is increasing, and the pace of digitization and the introduction of technology is being increased at such a pace that we need to accelerate the growth in the kind of skills that are going to be required to fill those kinds of jobs. The problem is, I think, that you'll find with employers, though, is that given the lag in growth and the slow growth or sometimes negative growth in some of these sectors, they're reluctant to invest in the kind of upskilling and training that's required. And then it becomes a vicious circle. They don't have the funds, they can't invest, they don't invest in training, but then they're faced with a skill shortage in the new skills areas where positions need to be filled.
And what that's done is raised the ire of unions, who are pointing the finger at an executive's team's capabilities, also the poor state of corporate planning to start off with. These are companies now that are going to face stiff labor union opposition to any of the plans they table, no matter how consultative those processes are. Is there any way you see these companies managing this process more smoothly right now?
Well, I think there are two issues that need to be dealt with. The first one is just growth itself. You know, you know well that growth has been minimal for 5 to 6 years now, and without the growth, one just can't create the kinds of jobs that we need. And even if on the other hand, there's also the lack of funds to fund the kind of training in the skills areas that we need. But there is no doubt that labor, there's some truth in Labour's criticism that employers haven't been as progressive as they could have been when it comes to investing in the kind of skills that are going to be needed in the future.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it's not ideal to have any government interfere in business, but the severity of the impending retrenchments that we are seeing, Tony, some suggesting necessitates that we need to see some kind of collaboration of minds. Do you see government, can government intervene?
Well, I think it will, and it already has. If you take the telecom scenario, I think government is already, the minister is already intervening. But to be honest, there's only so much the minister can do. And if you look at the public sector in general, it itself is already, pretty much bloated in terms of its own staff structure. But yes, I think there'll be some pressure brought to bear by the minister, as I say, for example, in the telecom scenario. But, there really is, at the end of the day, very little that these employers can do. They've got to be able to balance the budget.
We have, of course, the SARB just yesterday saying that it expects South Africa to register 0.4% growth for 2019. This year, it's been pegged at 1.2%. Even if that growth comes through as tepid as it is, do you see it really impacting SA Inc's ability, to curb the rising unemployment levels we're becoming accustomed to in the short term?
You know what? In the unlikely event that we exceed 1% and do get to 1.4, that's not going to come remotely close to the kind of growth we need to grow our way out of that current scenario. You know, we need growth levels closer to 5, north of 5%. 5% or north of 5% before we can begin to realistically say to ourselves that we're growing at such a pace that we can begin to start outgrowing the job losses that we're being faced with.
As a labor consultant, Tony, I've got to ask you, we've got such a focus on private-public collaboration that needs to happen, government, business and labor collaboration that needs to happen with what's playing out right now in just week two of 2020. What impact do you see that having on the trust deficit, certainly between business and labor?
We've had a very, very poor trust relationship between that kind of tripartite social grouping of labor, the state, and employers. If we look at the so-called social contract, which many, for example, Scandinavian countries have had, we've attempted that over the years, where the attempts have been made for the social contract, for a social contract to be reached between labor, the state, and employers. And that we just haven't had the climate for that. Now, whether that's because a lot of the difficult decisions that have to be made are too politically difficult to implement, I don't know. I sense that is one of the reasons. But certainly, if we had a greater social pact between labor, the state, and employers, then I think the potential would exist for us to be able to deal with these kinds of growing unemployment issues more successfully.
Well, Tony, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Labour consultant Tony Healy.